This morning we're going to start at least 3-week series entitled The Day of the Cross. The Day of the Cross. I want to encourage each of you to dust off your Bibles and spend some time in the next few weeks reading about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. This week I'm going to do my best to sort a question that every person who's a serious scholar of the Bible has to have had at some point in their studies concerning the life, death, and burial of Christ. To be honest, when I've read the scripture that we're going to read here in a few minutes in times past, what I thought it meant was nowhere close to what scholars say it means. The closer I looked, the more it made sense. The more times I read this scripture over and over, I believe God showed me His heart at this time in His life. So let's read Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to start in verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. Matthew 26, 36 says this: Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and He told His disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Taking along with Him two sons of Zebedee, he began to be, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Do y'all see that in your scripture? He was sorrowful and deeply distressed. Now think with me in your mind's eye. Have any of y'all ever been sorrowful and deeply distressed? Something had to have been going on in your life, right? Jesus, it says here, he was sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, "My soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with Me." Going a little farther, He fell face down and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Yet not as I will, but You will." Then He came to His disciples and found them sleeping, and asked Peter, "So couldn't you stay awake with Me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again the second time, Jesus went away and He prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, Your will be done." And He came again and found them sleeping because they could not keep their eyes open. After leaving them, He went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then He came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the time is near. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's go. See, My betrayer is near." Let's pray. Father, we love You. We say it with our words, God, but I pray that You'd wake us and shake us right now. Lord, I pray that You would still us. There'd be very little moving around, God. I pray that You'd help us to hear from You. God, this is not a message from me. This is a message from You to Your people. And God, I pray that You'd help each one of us to hear it. Honestly, God, I don't know that You've ever given me a more important message. I pray that it'll be heard, God, that it'll penetrate our hearts. I pray that Your Spirit would move each one of us this morning, that we might start being what You created us to be. In Christ Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. In the scripture we just read, three times Jesus asked God to let this cup pass before Me. What's in the cup? What is it that's in the cup? Now, you know, odd as this message, the title of this message is this morning, "What is in the cup?" I found that there were people in the sanctuary just this morning with cups. And I think some of them were lying to me. Because, you know, I've asked, and the deacons have asked, and Miss Vicky's asked, please do not bring anything unless it's water. And I think there were some who had coffee, and there were some who had tea, and there were some who might have had Kool-Aid. I don't know, Kool-Aid. But listen, Jesus asked God three times. He said, "What's in the cup?" He said, Lord, if you can have this cup pass before me, if you can remove it, if you can let it go away, Lord, let it happen. Church, what was in that cup? Three times he asked. Now, before I give some possibilities of what could have been in the cup Jesus was asking God to remove, I want to first help you to understand that Jesus knew everything that was going to take place to him in those next few days. He knew everything, Joe. He knew everything. Now, Brother Kyle, can you prove that? How do you know that Jesus knew everything? Well, in prior scripture, he prophesied some things that were getting ready to take place. He told of some things that were going to take place. Jesus knew it all. Every single detail. Mr. Tootin, Jesus knew everything that was going to happen. Well, let me give you a few. The first one is this. Jesus knew and foretold Judas that he was going to betray him. That's seen in Matthew chapter 26, verse 25. How could Jesus know this and not know every detail? He told him. Oh, here's another one. Jesus knew and foretold Peter that Peter was going to deny him. Y'all know those ugly details. Peter said, Jesus, I won't deny you. I'm not going to deny you. Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. You're going to deny me three times. And Peter, the rock, not only did he deny him, but he cussed. I don't like cussing Christians. Any of y'all like cussing Christians? You know, I've been around here lately. I've been around pastors who cuss. Tony, have you ever heard a pastor cuss? It blows my... Just because it's in the Scripture does not mean it's okay for you to come out of your mouth, all right? Preachers shouldn't cuss. I don't like preachers who cuss. Kenny, can I say it one more time? Cussing preachers ought not cuss. But Peter cussed. He denied him three times and he cussed there at the end. Jesus knew it was going to happen. Jesus knew and foretold all the apostles that you're going to leave me. You're going to leave me. You're going to run in fear. And he prophesied in Matthew chapter 26, verse 25. He told them. You may be asking, Pastor, if Jesus knew everything that was going to happen to him these next few days, then why was he now asking God to let this cup pass from him? Why was it? What was in this cup? What was in this cup that was so grieving him? Oh, let's go to another scripture because I want y'all to really understand the grief that Jesus had. Turn over to Luke with me real quick. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Same story, same account. But Luke, the physician, the doctor, adds a few more details to what's taking place. Verse 39 says, he went out and made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he told them, pray that you do not enter into temptation. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and began to pray. Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Now get this. Listen, verse 43. And then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he got up from prayer and came to his disciples, he found them sleeping, exhausted from their grief. Do you see the grief here that Jesus is struggling with? Bob, what's in that cup, man? What is it that's in that cup? What could have been in the cup that Jesus was asking God to let pass from him that was grieving Jesus to the point that sweat drops that were mingled with blood were soaking him? What was grieving Jesus that was in the cup so much that angels came and ministered to him? That's a lot of grief, Gary. Is it not? What could have... He knew everything. Brother Taylor, he knew everything that was about to take place
in his life. Miss Desi, he knew every detail, every step. But there was one thing that was grieving him. Heather, there was one thing that had it was in the forefront of his mind. He couldn't think about anything else. It was captivating. It was crushing him. It was grieving him so. Angels had to come, Mark, and minister to him. Give him strength. Because this one thing that was in the cup was taking everything out of him. Everything. Well, what could it be? What are some possible conclusions as to what was in that cup? Here's one. Could it have been the known rejection of his own people? Knowing that he was soon to die with so much left undone and so many still not accepting him as their one and only Messiah. Could it be that Jesus was, he was just, God, I'm not done here. I'm not done here. There's so many, my own people, our own people, the race of people that we created for ourselves. There's so many who have not accepted me, the one that you sent as the Messiah. And it was grieving Jesus? Could it be? Well, it could be. That's a great theory. But it's not the answer. Well, let me ask this. Could it have been the events that we earlier stated is what was bothering Jesus? That when the events of the next few days started to unfold, that even the closest followers, Jesus' closest followers, the apostles would run away from him in fear of their own personal safety. And look now. Look now in the scripture that we just read today. They're sleeping. His followers are sleeping while Jesus is grieving. Church, this is a pretty decent theory, but once again, that's not what was in the cup. That's not what was grieving Jesus. Could it be that what was in the cup was Jesus knowing how he knew how brutal the arrest and the trial was going to be? How he knew that he, the Son of God, was going to be brought before men unjustly on trumped up charges. He would be slapped. He was going to be belittled, spit upon, have his beard plucked out. Church, he would be beaten to a pulp. Beaten to a pulp, to an inch of his life. Flip with me, or just let me read this to you from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 and 14 say this. See my servant? He will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and greatly exalted. So as many were applied at you. His appearance was so disfigured that he did not look like a man. And his form did not resemble a human being. Could it be, church? Could it be? This is the cup. This was what was in the cup that Jesus was asking God to pass from him. This is a great theory. He was beat to the inch of his life. Mitch, I've had some beatings in my life. I have. And I'm sure that, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm sitting around Southern Baptist, but there's a lot of men in here. There's been times with especially at least one of my children, I probably went too far when I was, you know, I was spanking them. My dad one time, I can't remember what I did, but he took his belt off and he didn't let up until I think his arm was about to wear out. I had welts from here all the way down to my ankles. I was black and blue, and I couldn't sit down. There was one spot on the back of my leg where I guess a blood vessel popped and it, you know, I had blood running down my leg. That sounds bad, doesn't it? Somebody's probably sitting there thinking, yeah, boy, your mother should have called DSS. Well, maybe so, but we were living in a different time. But you know what? That beating that I took, that whipping that I took, I probably deserved it and that many more. This beating that Jesus took, he didn't deserve it. Scripture says that he was unrecognizable. You could recognize me. Hey, listen, as a matter of fact, I put on a pair of jeans and nobody could even tell I was whipped. Nobody could tell. Scripture says that you could not recognize who Jesus was. You know what that means? It means that not only was his legs, but his arms, his chest, his back. But the Scripture says you couldn't recognize him. What is that else does that mean? What else got a beating? His face. His face. Do you understand how personal that is? When you beat somebody unrecognizably in the face, could not recognize him. Could it be that Jesus, as he was thinking about what was about to take place these next few days, he saw all the pain and the belittlement that he was going to have to take. And he was saying, Jesus, let this cup pass before me. Church, this is a great theory as well. But it's not the cup Jesus asked God to let pass before him either. Well, then it had to be the cross. It had to be the cross then. His death upon this relatively new means of death was going to be agonizing. He was already beat to a pulp. Mark, he couldn't even physically carry the cross all the way up to Golgotha the way the prisoners were supposed to on their own. They had to pull a man to the side and have him carry Jesus' cross that last few steps. But surely Jesus had to been agonizing over knowing that the cross was going to be thrown down. He was going to be thrown down on top of this cross. They were going to pierce his hands, pierce his feet. And, you know, there's some people who think, well, you know, that sounds bad, but, you know, that's not even the worst part. As he was sitting there on that cross and it was lifted up and dropped into that hole, with nothing supporting him but those nails in his hands and his feet, and it ripped, Mark, as it hit the bottom of that hole. And he hung there. And hung there. And hung there. You know, scientists say one of the most excruciating ways to die is drowning. You know how Jesus really died? He drowned in his own fluids. His lungs filled up because he had to push off his feet that had nails in them to reach up to get air in his lungs and drop back down to get comfortable. Every time he got a breath, he had to push up on his feet with nails in his... Any of y'all ever stepped on a nail? Did any of y'all step on that nail and say, boy, that felt good on that foot. I'm going to do this one too. No. But he drowned. He suffocated in his own fluids. Could it be, Steve, that as he looked at the cross and knew all the agony that was coming his way, all the beatings, all the belittlement, everything, and he looked at the cross and he says, Father, let this cup pass before me. If it be your will, let this cup pass before me. Church, this is a great theory as well. But it's not the cup Jesus asked God to let pass from him. It's not it either. Could it have been this? All of it? Could it have been all of this? Could it have been everything I stated above? That Jesus was wanting God to let it pass from him? After all, you and I wouldn't want to endure just one of these events, and Jesus would experience them all. A good theory. But as we look at everything that I've talked about as a whole thus far, none of it's what Jesus was asking God to let pass before him either. Do you realize that Jesus, the Son of God, did not have to submit himself to any of this? Do y'all realize that? Look with me back at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 52. Matthew 26, verse 52 says this, Then Jesus told him, put your sword away back into place, because all who take up the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot call on my Father, and he will provide me at once with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the Scripture be fulfilled that I say I must, that must happen this way? Jesus could have called on 12 legions in a second and gone through none of this, Gidget. He could have, but he didn't. He could have at any time quit on man, stopped on man, said, man, you're not worth what I am going to go through. But he didn't. He didn't. Church, Jesus was resolved to go through with every aspect of what was going to take place to him the next few days. He was all God and all man. And he had experienced semblances of everything that was going to happen to him on a smaller scale up to this point, except one. Jesus had experienced pain. How in the world could you not be a carpenter and not hit your thumb? It's not possible. Anybody in here who was a carpenter at some point or had a hammer and did not hit your thumb at some point? Hey, listen. I'll never forget in all my life, when I was, 16, 17 years old, we were framing in Morganton, North Carolina. And there was a guy who was, he was a new grunt. He had never framed before. And he had a brand new East Wing waffle cone hammer. Y'all know what a waffle cone hammer is? At the end of the hammer, it's like a waffle cone. I don't know why they put it there, but it's sharp, and after a period of time, it kind of smooths itself out, but it looks like a waffle cone. That dude was nailing headers together that day. And I don't know, I don't even want to belittle the boy, because I'm going to tell you, he hit that thumb the first time. It was a waffle cone, and it left an impression the first time all over his thumb. And he threw that hammer down, and he cussed. It was a construction site. It's almost legal in the eyes of God for that to happen. Almost. But he hit his thumb, and we kind of just snickered, and were like, man, why in the world is this dude? And it was like a 32-ounce. It was a big hammer. So we get back to work. Joe, it wasn't about 10 minutes later. Poof! He hits that same thumb again. And, it's shaking. Blood's coming down of it. And at this point, we're just like, we're trying to hold it in. It wasn't 15 minutes later. He hit that thumb again. The boy was about to die. The boy was about to die. Jesus had experienced some sort of pain. Now, I don't think Jesus hit his thumb three times with a waffle cone hammer, but he had experienced pain in his life. He was all God. He was all man. Jesus had experienced suffering. As his earthly father, Scripture doesn't, Joseph's nowhere to be seen. Joseph is dead. Scholars say that Joseph had died somewhere between their visit to the temple, and now. Don't know exactly when. He'd experienced suffering. Jesus had most definitely experienced rejection and disappointment. We see that all through the four Gospels. People rejecting Jesus. Church, there was one thing that Jesus had never experienced in all of his life that was grieving him. This one thing was what he was asking God, the Father, to let pass from him. If only it was God's will. What was it? Let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah gives us an idea. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 2 says this. He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form of splendor that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. He was of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like one people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sickness, and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because our transgressions, crushed because our iniquities, punished for our peace was on him. And we are healed because of his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all turned from our own way. And the Lord has punished him for our iniquity of all of us. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like sheep silent before their shears, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment. And who considered his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my rebellious people, my people's rebellion. They made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man at his death. Although he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully, yet the Lord was pleased. Listen, the Lord was pleased to crush him, and he made him sick. When you make him the restitution offering, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days. He will, and the will of the Lord will succeed by his hand. He will see it out of his anguish, and he will be satisfied with his acknowledge, and will acknowledge my righteousness servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him the manyest portion, and he will receive the mightiest spoil, because he submitted himself to death and was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels. What was in that cup? What was in that cup, Steve? That he prayed to God three times. God, let this cup pass before me. What was it? That angels had to come and minister to him because he was grieving. That sweat drops of blood poured from his body because it grieved him so. What was it? What was it? Our sin. Our sin. Our sin is what the cup that Jesus was asking God to remove. He was a man with no sin. He knew no sin, but was about to take on the sin of the whole world on his shoulders. Mark, he'd experienced everything else to a certain degree, but he didn't know what sin felt like. Didn't know really what it would feel like on him. He didn't deserve it, but he took it. He asked God, if there's any other way, please remove it from me. I'll do it if I have to, God, but if there's any other way, you know, I'll take the cross, I'll take the beatings, but if there's any other way that we can do this without putting that sin on my body, please let it pass before me. You know, as I got to thinking about this, I tried to think of a way that I could properly illustrate this. Now, honestly, if I had this cup, any of y'all ever, your mouth just watered for some strange reason? And y'all know if you're not feeling good and your mouth's watering, if you swallow that, guess what's getting ready to happen? You're getting ready to throw up. Okay? I could honestly, this is going to get a little nasty, but I want you to, I could if I had to, is my mouth watering? I could spit in this cup and fill it up to here if need be. And if somebody looked at you and said, drink it or I'll shoot you in the head. It's my spit. I'll drink it. If I had to. But let's do something else. I'm seeing a lot of... Let's take the cup and pass it around the audience. And every... You all spit in it. And let's hand it to Jesus and tell him to drink it. Jesus, the man who knew no sin, who deserved nothing to happen to him, took your sin. Can you imagine having never felt the coldness of sin of any kind and then bearing the sin of a murderer? Bearing the sin of a child molester? A pedophile? The sin of a drunk who beat his wife and his children and neglected his family, wanted to hang out with the boys rather than stay home with the family. The sin of a man who came home in a drug-induced stupor and took a hot fire poker and stuck it through his two-year-old baby girl's eyes because he didn't know what he was doing. Jesus took that sin on his shoulders at Calvary. How about your sin? Pay attention to me. How about your sin? Yeah, that's that sin that no one knows about but you and God. That one sin, if anyone knew about, you would be ruined. That sin that you committed, every time you think about it, it hurts your heart and fills your eyes with tears. Church, that was put on Jesus as well. Church, Jesus, the man who knew no sin, who bore the sins of the world, deserves us to worship him in a way grander manner than we do. Mark, he grieved. He grieved because he didn't know what was going to take place. He didn't know how it was going to feel. But he took it. He took our sin. What can we do? What can we do to honor Jesus today for what he did? Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says this: Blessed are those who mourn, because they will be comforted. Now, if you're in my Wednesday night crowd, you probably know exactly where I'm going with this. We're not talking about blessed are you when you mourn because you'll be comforted when somebody in your life dies. It's not talking about the death of a loved one here. What is Jesus talking about mourning? Blessed are ye who mourn. Mourning over your sinful condition. Mourning over the sinful condition of this nation, of this world. We need to mourn over our sinfulness. Why is it so important that I mourn over everybody's sinful condition? Because it was put on Jesus, who didn't deserve it. Our sin should so bother us that we mourn. But instead, you know what we do? We glorify it. Oh, it's not that bad. Everybody does it. Your sin put Jesus on the cross. It was put on him. What you know is wrong and you still choose to do, thumbing your nose at God, is what killed and put Jesus, it pained Jesus on the cross. It's what grieved him to the point that angels had to minister to him. And yet you still do it. This morning, I want to ask you to come down and spend some time with Jesus. Focus on that sin that you know grieved Him. Why don't you come down and spend some time mourning? Mourning over the sinful condition that you know is still there. Oh yeah, I'm saved, but I still have that one thing, that two things. Come spend some time with the Lord this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Lord, I don't know how it felt to put my sin on. Please forgive me. God, You've given me so much. I pray that Your Spirit would move during this invitation, not because of the message, Lord, but because of who You are. In light of all that You've given to us, we give You so little, Lord. The greatest thing that we always give You is excuses. And Lord, I'm tired of excuses. Let Your Spirit reign right now during this invitation. In Christ Jesus' name, I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please stand. If you need to come down and spend some time with the Lord, the altar's open.